This morning, our service is going to all be around this table. And it's a joy to be back at this table this way. And this is the first we've done this now in a long time. And as we had said last week, if you're still not real comfortable with passing and so forth, we have at the two tables at each door some of the pre-filled communion wafer and cup. So I know some of you picked that up, and that's great. Anyone that we need to get you some real quickly before we begin, or you're comfortable with passing today. Okay, the only other thing I want to remind you of is that our communion is open. You don't need to be a member. We just ask that you be a believer, that Jesus is Savior and Lord, and that you are with us celebrating his death and knowing and understanding his resurrection and looking forward to his return. In Psalm 139, David said, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts, and see if there be any hurtful way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way." Let's sing that chorus that goes with that. Search me, O God, and know my heart today. Try me, O Savior, know my thoughts, I pray. See if there be some wicked way in me. Cleanse me from every sin and set me free. Those of you who've been with us, you know we've been studying through 1 Peter. And I noticed when I was looking at the next paragraph that 1 Peter 3:10 or 8 through 12 just fits so nicely into what we're doing this morning. You remember Peter challenged us in our everyday life in the marketplace. He challenged us in the market of, or the area of the public square and our responsibility as citizens. Our responsibilities at work. And then he got really personal and talked to us about our challenges and the responsibilities that we have at home. And these next verses just kind of sum all of that up. And as I was looking at it, I saw how well they fit into this area of confession and self-examination. Now, Peter does something that only Peter can do. Normally, we look at Scripture first, and we let the pastor help us understand what the Scripture says and help us with making the appropriate application. Peter turns that around. He starts with what he wants you to go away with. He makes the application for us. And he says, to sum up everything we've talked about now here about the challenges that we have to live our lives as men and women of faith in the world around us, to sum it all of you be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly or sisterly, kind-hearted, humble in spirit, not returning evil for evil or insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead. For you were called for this very purpose. Never wondered what your purpose was? that you might inherit a blessing. And that blessing, it's the blessing of obedience. Now, the only way you and I can live an obedient, righteous life is in Christ, regularly connected with and responding to the Holy Spirit within us as believers. And so Peter's just saying that that's the life you and I should be living. And it's a life that should be evident to anyone who's watching. Can you imagine in our culture, in our time, being harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, sisterly, humble? We don't see a whole lot of that publicly. What a wonderful way to live our faith out with one another. And remember the challenges that we've had up to this point in 1 Peter 2 and the first verses of chapter 3. Our responsibility, not just at home, but also in the community around us. We can live Christ-like, and what was the fancy word? Winsome. A life that just draws others, not to us, not to our church, but to Jesus. Now, Peter then, I don't know if he's thinking this way or not, but he may have been thinking, now wait a minute, I just said some really good things here. And you've heard me say more than once, I didn't make this stuff up, but usually I start with Scripture, so he moves to Scripture. I didn't make this stuff up, folks. Psalm 34 says, "For those who desire life, to love and see good days, must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. He must turn away from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears attend to their prayer." Imagine that. God promises that we are all, as his children, in his presence. We can't hide from him. David said more than once, "I can't go anywhere that you're not there." And he took great comfort in it. Every once in a while, some of us are tempted to see if we can hide from God. David says more than once, "It can't be done." And again, he sees that as a blessing. "I can't go anywhere that you're not there." The Lord constantly looks toward the righteous, and his ears attend to their prayers. We never have to wonder if God is listening. Will he do what he asks, what we ask? Sometimes. But he's always listening. He always hears. He's never distracted. He's never too busy. He's never, talking to somebody else. He always hears our prayers. "But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil." And there's the challenge. Because in my heart, I know I don't get it right all of the time. I still struggle with sin. Some of the time. And so Peter has told me, and now he's pointed me to what he knows of his scripture that says, if I want to live a holy, righteous, godly life, it has to be characterized by obedience. So I have to know God's word, and I have to do God's word. And Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11 that one of the benefits of regularly getting together around this table is an opportunity for examination and confession, because we don't get it right all of the time. We need to, from time to time, to just pause and ask God to make us a little more aware of what he's wanting of us. A little more sensitive to sinfulness. Our sinfulness. And remember the promise. Sin confessed is sin forgiven. And Paul reminded the church at Corinth, it's a step you need to take regularly before you approach this table. Don't approach it carelessly, thoughtlessly, but with examination and confession. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we pause here before this table, the bread, the cup, remind us that Jesus gave everything he had to give in his death for our sins. He died for our sins, and not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. The debt is fully paid. We heard that gracious offer, and we accepted it by faith. All do not. All will not. But we have. Jesus is Savior and Lord. But even in our saving, we still struggle with the old nature. While sin no longer has power over us, it still is tempting from time to time. While we now have all of the tools that we need to say no, we don't always. So, Father, right now we invite your Holy Spirit to examine us. If there is sin that we have excused, if there's sin we have refused to admit, if we need to forgive and believe somehow that we cannot, Father, may we confess that as the sin it is, repent, and turn away from it, and know the forgiveness that you offer to your children. And in that forgiveness, approach this table. Take the bread. Take the cup. Show the Lord's death till he comes. And in this moment, rightly related to you, we thank you and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Paul told the church in Corinth on the night in which Jesus was betrayed, as they were celebrating the Passover, he took two elements of that meal and gave them special significance for his disciples. I'm going to pass to the family right here. Thank you. Thank you. Jesus took the bread and he said, "This is my body which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then, in a similar way, Jesus took a cup. And shared it with his disciples. And taking the cup, Jesus said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." In the midst of the Passover meal, at some point, one of the children would say, "Why?" And when Paul gave his instructions to the church at Corinth, he maybe had that little guy in mind. Why? Why the bread? Why the cup? And Paul said, "This is the motivation For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim, you show, you demonstrate to the world that you as a church believe in the Lord's death until he comes. We enjoy Easter. We celebrate the resurrection. But the work of your salvation was done Friday afternoon when Jesus died. His resurrection proves that he is who he says he is, the very Son of God, our Savior. But the truth is, Jesus died for your sins and for mine. He didn't appear to die. He didn't come back to life later or, you know, revive later in the cool of the tomb. He died. He died for your sins because the wages of sin is death. And he took those sins, your sins and mine, the sins of the whole world, upon himself. And Paul says we need to regularly be telling the world that Jesus died for their sins. And don't forget it. Because sure enough, there are churches today that call themselves churches where they've taken the significance of the death away. It's the life Jesus lived. It's the lessons that he taught. That's the significance. Well, all of those things are wonderful, absolutely. But when it comes to where you will spend eternity, it's only based upon the death of Christ. If he did not pay for your sins, you will. With eternal judgment. That's how God feels about your sin and mine. That's why Jesus had to die. And we must never forget it. It must always be a part of the message that we send and speak to the world. Jesus died for your sins. We are forgiven because of the death of Christ. Let's stand together and sing our hymn of fellowship. Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love, the fellowship of kindred minds is like to that above. Thank you for starting today, starting this week with us here. Thank you, Michael, for preparing the table for us so that we could do this again. What a privilege. We thank you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the gift of your Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus. Thank you for loving us so much. Jesus, thank you for being willing to come. And Holy Spirit, the one who chose to take up residence within us, to shine light upon our Bibles so that we can better understand, and the ready source of challenge and encouragement and direction in our lives. Each playing a part in our lives today. As we leave here, may it be evident to those who watch us, Heavenly Father, that we love you with all that we have and all that we are. That we love one another, that we love our neighbors as ourselves, and all only because you loved us first. May we live lives of winsomeness, lives that point others to Jesus. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.